Today's episode of Zero Credits is brought to you by the shared memory of President Trump staring directly into the sun. And welcome back to Zero Credits, the show where we talk about things. My name this week is Henry.
And my name is I'm Blind But Just In The Middle, John.
And together we're Henry and I'm Blind But Just In The Middle, John, coming at you to discuss the cultural happenings without their zeitgeist, now that the rapture hasn't taken place.
Now, I think it's pretty clear we're talking about the eclipse, or as I like to call it, part two of the Texas two clips. The two-part...
Wait, part one of the Texas two clips? Or
no, there was in October, there was first part of the Texas two clips.
I was there for that.
Most recent was the second part. It's like a Dune part one, Dune part two situation.
Much like Denis Villeneuve, whose name I shall never pronounce correctly, nature sought to release a two part. Why am I speaking in like newspeak?
Nature sought. Nature said.
Nature released a two-part eclipse this week.
The second part of the Texas two clips, much like Dune Part 2, better than the first one and a little funnier, but arguably less faithful to the books.
Right. And we're going to get into that. But first, I want to do a little something that I haven't done on the podcast in a minute, John.
Is that?
Hold on. Pause for silence. God, this can was hard to open. I never made an announcement or anything, but I stopped drinking during the week, and I just cracked open a nice cold beer, John.
Oh, cracking open a cold one for the pot. Clearly, it's not like a special occasion or anything.
Oh, boy, is it. Not only was it the eclipse, but also a very local brewery to me released a very special beer that ties into one of my dumb hobby things. I'm just going to reveal it. Third Level Brewing from Round Rock. They launched a Hairy Man Hefe, a Hefeweizen, to quote them, German-style wheat ale. And what makes this so special is that I got to write the copy on the can.
Oh my God, you've joined the likes of the guy who wrote the copy on that one can of Paloma or Margarita, and then also that one guy who wrote the copy on that one can about the mermaid lady.
Yes, I have joined the annals of can history, joining the ranks of the mermaid guy and then like the blonde. There was like a legendary blonde or something.
Remember I think the mermaid and the blonde were maybe the same. And there was also someone who harvested a Paloma. Listen, beer lore is extremely important on the podcast. You know, if there's beer lore, we're going to read it.
Right. And so, I guess I'll do the honor of reading my own copy. This is a big moment for me on this can of Hairy Man Hefe. And for some backstory, just for some context, there's a local cryptid in the Round Rock area called the Hairy Man. And this can evokes that legend. And we'll get more into it after I read it. But without further ado, here we go. Legend tales of a pioneer left behind who'd fall from trees to scare those passing by. But the only scary thing about this brew is how hair-raisingly refreshing you'll find it. Inspired by the partnership between Third Level Brewing and Grackalope Games to bring this legend to life.
Wow. Succinct, to the point, mysterious.
Yeah, it doesn't
really everything say- you want in beer lore.
It doesn't say really much about the brew, and I guess I'll pull the curtain back a little bit. I hadn't tasted the beer yet before I wrote the copy, so I couldn't talk about notes or like flavors. But I hope that gets across. It is a very refreshing light Hefeweizen, and it does raise your hair.
Yeah, I mean, usually, you know, if you're in the lab writing the beer lore, I don't really know how it's done, but I have to imagine that the beer lore is written by someone who works for the brewery and has had a chance to try the beer that's been tested and proven, so they can like write some notes or I did notice that the can, also full disclosure, I intended to have my Hairy Man Heffy with me here so we could drink them together, and I drank all of them before we started recording. So
that's the mark. That's the mark of a tasty beer, if I do say so myself.
It's a pretty tasty beer. It's quite a good Hefeweizen. It's maybe a little juicier than and more sour than I expect a Hefeweizen to be, but super refreshing.
It
cut down on like the high, dry alcohol notes and made it right. More of a crushable early summer drink.
It's super banana forward. I believe that's how they described it on their socials. I would just say fruit forward, but specifically they say it's banana forward, and it really cuts down on that weedy aftertaste you get from Heffies. Like, it's less banana bread and more like crushable Capri Sun banana flavor.
Yeah, I'd say that's accurate. That banana flavor is, of course, isoamyl acetate. It's pretty unique to the fermentation process of beer. I love super banana forward beers. That's why I love like a Belgian triple or a Trappist ale generally. And that beer, from what I can remember of the six of them I drank, pretty banana forward.
Very good. Like you say, very crushable, kind of more thirst quenching than like dehydrating, which is what you want out of a good sort of like summertime, springtime release. So here's to you, Third Level Brewing. Thanks for letting me write the blurb on your can, and for doing that, this tie-in with my dumb game company that the can also references, that we don't have to get into. Grackalope Games, look it up. Goodbye.
Okay, cool. We stan a man who can't self promo. You did a good job.
I'm not
on the podcast. It's great. Good job.
I'm not here to cross promote. Yeah, I'm not here to cross promote my game company. I'm here to promote the beer and the partnership with Third Level Brewing. If you're in the Round Rock area, check them out. I don't think they distro anywhere because here's a little spoiler alert. They're barely 2 years old.
Yeah, I consider myself a little bit of I drink beer too much, as evidenced by the fact that I consumed all the Hairy Man Heffies before we actually got in here today. This was my first time ever hearing of Third Level Brewing. Of the one beer of theirs I had, they seem to be reasonably good at it. They seem very new. There's maybe some IP stuff they might have issues with going forward, as far as maybe some art, but very, very nice place if you're in Round Rock. First of all, we're under like a severe thunderstorm watch, large hail. So, you know, get your car under cover if you can. But
don't go now.
After that,
yeah. Don't go
after that. Hit up their little brewing.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you for giving me this small time to talk about this beer. And thanks to everyone for stomaching it. Let's move on. Solar eclipse, John, the solar
eclipse. Just really quick, going back to the self-promo for the beer. You have like a real thing that was made people could hold it in their hands and people paid for it. And I was in line. I was in line getting my second Hairy Man Heffy. Yeah. And someone next to me who I'd never met and was not there for the release said, "Can I get one of those Heffs again? They're really good." Oh, yeah. Or maybe she said, "Can I get one of those Hairy Mans again?" It's unclear, but you know that one person who's a total stranger likes it. People held it, and more importantly, people paid money for it. In this one moment, you have created something that is infinitely more successful than this podcast in one fell swoop. So I hope you enjoy that.
I did. I really enjoyed that night. It was great. It was worth a lot of the headaches that it took to set up that night. People said, good friends of mine said nice words about me, and I completely disagree with everything they said. It's great.
Yeah, I disagree as well. Also, the people at Grackalope Games, and once again, we won't talk about them.
We're not talking about Grackalope Games. Grackalope Games.
They did a great job of fielding. Sometimes I go into a social situation. I don't know why I'm this way. I just decide that I know I'm going to give people a hard time. And I decided to give them a lot of hard times about like the game engine they chose or monetization schemes or things like that. They did a great job addressing all of my concerns and wouldn't allow me to give them a hard time.
I know, we're just nice guys just trying to like bring place to game dev by being hyper local. That's all we want. I know.
It's frustrating how I couldn't get anyone's goat. But I did get that delicious heffy.
Bringing the place to your PlayStation. Wait, no, that doesn't really work.
PlayStation. There we go.
Anyway, John.
Henry.
I don't know if you heard, but there was an eclipse here in Texas.
I don't know if I heard, but I certainly saw a little bit of the old sun getting eclipsed by what I believe to be the moon.
Yes, the moon moved its way across the sun and cast a shadow over this weary marble we call Erath.
I would hope that anyone who was in the path of totality or close to the path of totality did get a chance to watch the eclipse in its entirety. It was weird. So Austin was one of the like big destination cities for eclipse viewing, or as I call it, sun peeping in Texas. In fact, I think Austin, Dallas, not San Antonio.
No,
but maybe just Austin and Dallas were in the path of totality. Not Houston either.
Houston was outside of it. San Antonio might have been clipped by it a little bit, but Austin and Dallas were like the main sort of big cities in Texas that were in the path of totality, as they say.
Yeah, there was a, I think Waterloo Park hosted an eclipse viewing, which is a crazy thing to host because, you know, people can just watch it from wherever as long as they're not inside. But they host an eclipse viewing. The lawn at Waterloo Park, I think, hosted 5,000 people. There were 12,000 people in total in Waterloo Park watching the eclipse. And I gotta say, in terms of eclipse days, it's a lot like the Super Bowl, you know?
Right.
This most recent Super Bowl. You were on the edge of your seat the whole time because it was cloudy.
Yeah. There was a lot of hype for the event, but you don't know how it's gonna be until it happens. And on that day, it was very cloudy.
Yeah, it was the kind of cloudy and the kind of like pre-stormy where you're like, there's no way I'm gonna see anything, like big fat dark cumulonimbi all over the place. You're not gonna see anything. And then as we got closer, little tiny wispy clouds started to appear, little bits of the sun. Depending on where you were in the city, you actually got a great view of the total solar eclipse. And if you were extremely lucky like we were, actually, I don't know. If you're like 3 miles south, are the clouds different than they are up here? I don't know.
I think clouds are completely locally based because we had reports of people in Georgetown with no clouds at all. And that's only like maybe 20 minutes, not even 20 minutes, but like a couple of miles north. Cedar Park, I think, had different clouds from where we were, where I was in Austin. I think clouds, it's just one of those spot check things. You just look straight up. What are the clouds doing right now? Okay. Yeah. Because I had a similar experience at my workplace where leading up to it, like we were kind of like standing in the parking lot trying to see the sun through the clouds with our glasses. And every once in a while you'd hear a cheer and quickly look up and you could see like a little sliver of it. But then right for totality, the glasses went completely dark because the clouds got thin enough. Like the glasses couldn't pierce the clouds, but you took them off and you could see totality. And I stared right at it. So I hope that's okay. I hope clouds are enough protection for me.
Generally speaking, okay. So like, I want to kind of disabuse a bit of a myth that I believed for maybe too long. Do you think it's like worse to look at an eclipse than it is to look at the sun? Like, do you think there's something special about an eclipse that you shouldn't look at?
No, I think it's just like people think it's okay to look at because it's darker, but I don't think it's any more dangerous than just staring at directly the sun.
Yeah, for some reason, growing up, I was like, okay, you don't look at the sun, obviously, but it must be extra bad to look at an eclipse for some reason. Maybe, like, the rays get super focused or something. And I believe this well into my teenage years. And it seems like people maybe still kind of believe that that's the case. Looking at an eclipse is somehow bad. Looking at the sun is bad, sure.
Right, right. Anytime you look at the sun, you're flipping a coin, because it could just completely damage your retinas irreparably. There's no way to repair sun damage directly to the eye.
Yeah, I mean, I have a little spot in my vision from when I looked at someone welding for a second, and that's never going away.
That's on Earth.
Don't mess around with light. But for the most part, if you can't see something through the eclipse glasses, it's safe-ish to look at. It's pretty safe to look at.
Right. So we couldn't see the eclipse through the glasses, but we could see it through the clouds. And it was a sight to behold for sure. I, for one, thought the birds would get quiet, but our parking lot lights came on for safety reasons. And so... One, that was fucking stupid, and I hate that happened. And two, I guess the birds were like, well, this isn't any different from nighttime, so chirpy, chirpy, chirp.
There's actually a really interesting thing that I want to read and listen to the audio recordings of, but apparently bees went silent during the eclipse, and people are trying to figure out why.
There are no bees in my parking lot. I didn't get to experience that.
What's crazy is people are like, why did the bees get quiet? They're trying to figure it out. But if someone has not been on the path of totality, and unfortunately as a fan of the stars, this is actually my first totality.
I believe and it's mine as well.
If no one's ever been in like the path of totality before, it's very strange because I've been in a lot of eclipses. I've done a small amount of eclipse chasing in my life, but only for partials. And there's this very unique quality of the light as the sun is partially eclipsed, like greater than 50% eclipsed, where things look like kind of not muted. It's like the color quality changes because it's not like nighttime when it's partially eclipsed. It just looks weird as hell out.
In the in-between state, like right before, like right as it's beginning, I pointed this out to people around me and I was like, it looks like everything is slightly off. It doesn't look like night or day. And like you said, it's not muted. It's just like there's something missing.
Yeah, it's like
out of almost everything you're seeing.
It's like the quality of sunlight in the evening, except like the color values are off. Like there's like less red or something. It just looks really bizarre. And I don't think there's like any other lighting condition that's exactly like it. And then the actual totality itself is when it's like really starting to get there and it becomes essentially night during the day and it gets noticeably colder. Very scary.
It's very, I was afraid, not afraid. I could feel it. There was something primal in it where it felt wrong that it was so dark and yet it wasn't nighttime. Like if I were alive multiple thousands of years ago and this happened, I would have been like, yeah, okay, we pissed off God. Like this is what we need to make things right. Who's got a goat? We got to kill one right now. Like this is. It's night during the day.
Even with like the full weight of my academic knowledge, when that happened, something deep in my caveman brain was like, what if this isn't just an eclipse and everything else? Like, what if the sun is actually winking out and we're all about to die? And then deeper in my caveman brain, I was like, this is religion. This is God. This is, we need to make a God now. We need to appease the God so the sun comes back, please. Please, God, make the sun come back. Please, new God. But probably my favorite experience of the eclipse was that we were sitting in our grass with our eclipse glasses on, bisexually sitting in our chairs so that our heads were like tilted all the way back to stare directly at the sun. 'Cause you had to catch glimpses of it where you could between the clouds.
Right, exactly.
And it was like getting to that point, the little tiny sliver of a fingernail was disappearing, and then all of it went out. And I was like, oh, it's a cloud or something. And then Alice was really quiet. And then I took them off, and like shining through the wispy clouds was the totality, which like coming through the clouds, it had this like, it created this like huge misty silver halo in the sky, which was the most righteous and unholy thing I have ever seen. Like looking at the sky, I'm like, it's end time shit. It's to see that in the sky is end time shit.
It looks like a horror movie. It looks like a symbol from like a prophesized doom day. Like, yes, there's just a completely black sphere, glowing sphere in the sky that looks, like you said, unholy. And we need to repent. We need to do what, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene says and repent.
I'm unaware of the time she said repent, but for the eclipse, is that where she thinks the Jewish space lasers come from?
that was the other joke people made, but she made a statement that the earthquake that hit New York and this eclipse means it's time to repent. And it's like, great. Ah, yes.
This eclipse, the eclipse, of course.
The eclipse that was scheduled hundreds of years in advance. Yes, that's a sign of something.
I wonder, I do wonder what it's like to just live a life where instead of a brain, you just have lead-based paint sloshing around in your skull.
It must be freeing a little bit.
That you don't have a solid brain. It would be nice to be free to that degree. I took the day off for the eclipse because a feeling overtook me upon seeing the eclipse that I knew it would. And my wife took like a few hours to watch the eclipse and went back to work. I'm like, how do you see this? And think, I got to go back to that slide deck or I got to go.
I mean,
like, how?
It was the craziest thing to me. We watched totality for the minute and 37 seconds we had it. And it was starting to get lighter again. Not it got light again. It was beginning to get light again. And our entire company leadership was already in the door walking back to their offices. And I was just like, it infuriated me. Because it's like, we just saw something that people traveled hundreds of miles or spent hundreds of dollars buying overpriced hotels to see. Something that is like a very, very rare occurrence of nature and cosmos, and should be a signal that everything we're doing down here is rather small in the grand scheme of things. And not even a minute after it was over, they were like, well, time to go back to work and make money. And to me, I've never felt a bigger disconnect between what I personally believe and what I have to do to sustain the life that society has thrust upon me before in my entire career.
I mean, it's astounding because exactly like you said, it's less so the rarity of being in the path of totality for a solar eclipse, but you just saw something happen in what is in universe terms an extremely small celestial event, right? You saw a star occluded by a moon that is orbiting around a planet, right? It's just an interaction of three different bodies. And that alone, the scale of that alone makes you feel completely insignificant, and that to continue to live a single day of your life, not to the fullest, is insane. It's like we are all here for the briefest of times. Everything is passing and happening on a scale that is literally unimaginable to us. And then we have to go back and be like, ah, but the P&L projections, no one cares. No one cares.
Absolutely. I mean, and to speak on the rarity, apparently from what I've heard from people way smarter than me, like Hank Green, This occurrence is super rare, just like in the universe. The fact that our moon is the perfect size and in the perfect distance to like fully block out our sun at random times of our orbit is apparently not something that's too commonly found in other places, according to what he was telling me on a TikTok that I was half listening to.
Yeah, I mean, its orbit around the Earth and our orbit around the sun, they're not like synchronized in any way, but they are offset just enough to make something like this happen. The orbital math of these three bodies could be such that this happens every trillion years, or could never happen. Or, I don't know, what if our moon is big enough that it blocks out the sun? One of our many moons is big enough that it blocks out the sun every day at noon or whatever. But this specific thing, it's a great gift. And our moon is just the right size to make that cool halo thing happen.
Right, exactly. Maybe that's what he was speaking on more so than anything else, was that halo thing. But apparently, by all accounts, we only have a certain number of these eclipses left before we'll never get another one again.
I think eclipses do get further and further out every time they happen, right?
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, so scientists who are in the know put it that, look, we only have about 620 million years left of eclipses.
I mean, I'm hoping to be around by then.
I'm just saying, like, we have every single one of these is a treasure. We need to cherish it. And, you know, honestly, we should have taken the day off, but I can't spare any days off because of how broken workers' rights are in this country. But yeah, we should have given more reverence to it because we only have a couple of 100 million years left of this phenomenon.
I also want to, and not to bring this back to me dunking on American corporate work culture. It isn't even necessarily work culture, but like I'm getting madder the more I think about the idea that like someone would see that thing happen, right? And they'd be like, well, I've seen that. Time to get on with my life, right?
Not even like, a minute later. Not even a minute to reflect. Just, oh, we saw it. It's over. Time to get back in the building and push those papers.
Like, but like, here's the some people seem to live this way, and I call them my most hated group of people, which is the beat the traffic crowd.
Oh my God, I love dunking on beat the traffickers.
The beat the traffic crowd is my mortal enemy, and they are essentially people who like go to a thing, and I always use like Old Faithful as an example.
Okay, that's a good one.
Like people go, they see Old Faithful, they see it go off, and before the geyser is done erupting, they're like leaving to beat the crowd so they can like beat the traffic away from Old Faithful. And this is true of fireworks shows. It's true of sporting events. I've left FC games early, but that's because I have somewhere to be.
That's different.
Yeah. I think sporting events are a little bit different because they're overlong and, you know.
Well, if your team is losing and you're going to get up just because, like, they're going to lose anyway, might as well beat the traffic. I don't like those people.
Yes. Agreed.
Because those people are like, are you actually a fan of this team? Because, like, if you are, you're going to stay with them through the wins and the losses. You're going to
feel it. Being a fan means loving the losses. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. The period.
Like, I was at a hockey game recently, and go Texas Stars, and we were winning through two periods, and it was a really great game. And then, just unfortunately, the number one ranked team in the AAHL did what they did and scored three goals in one period and took the lead. And it sucked that we lost, but it was such like an exciting, hard-fought game. And we saw people 2 minutes left get up and start walking down. It was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
One, what traffic are we beating? This is a Texas Stars game. There's no one here.
absolutely true. And also, like, you made it this far. Like, are you so afraid? These people must have never gone to, like, a concert. A concert that happens over 3 hours and everyone drives away, like at Circuit of the Americas or whatever. We're like, the traffic's just going to suck. And you know what? Let it suck. I guess the issue that I have with the beat the traffic crowd, and I'm lumping in your coworkers that left right when the Eclipse was over as the beat the traffic crowd, in that there are people that think, I saw that, now I have to leave because I checked the box that said I saw it. I need to get on with my life. The most efficient way to maintain my like pleasure and feel like I'm in control of my life is to beat the traffic or to go back to work.
Right.
But the argument that I have for the beat the traffic crowd, for the leave early because your team's losing crowd, for the go back to work during the Eclipse crowd, is the point of there is no point in seeing anything. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't go to see Old Faithful to say we saw a geyser, right? We go there to think the thoughts that seeing Old Faithful makes us think. We as human beings are just searching out new novel thought. You see the eclipse so you can think things that only seeing the eclipse lets you think. You watch your team lose because doing that gives you thoughts that only seeing your team lose would give you. Like, there's no points for seeing anything. Like, that gives you no joy. It enriches your life not one iota to just have seen something. So to like treat it like a to-do item, being like, ah, I received the light information through my eyes. It was decoded by my brain and I'm marking off Yellowstone. Done. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that scientists check for sentience is responding to stimulus. And responding to stimulus has to come with an actual measurable response. Looking up at the sky for a couple of seconds, a minute and 37 seconds, and then going back inside, I don't think a scientist could accurately measure that as like a response to a stimuli. So it's like, are you sentient? If you're just going down a list of checklist things to be like, oh, yeah, we visited Italy. And like, oh, what did you do? Oh, we saw the Colosseum. We saw other Italian things. I don't know much about Italy. But it's like, no. What did you think of Italy? It's like, oh, no, we saw the Colosseum. It's like, that's where it breaks down. Yeah,
that's the problem. Is like whenever you talk to these people, you're like, what did you learn? What did you learn about yourself and others from these experiences? Yeah. And I fall into this trap too. Like, everyone does this when we travel. Like, we went to Broadway, we're like, well, we got to see Big Ben. So we like booked a little boat cruise that would take us to see Tower Bridge and Big Ben. And take us down Cannery Wharf. And honestly, like, I saw those things. I saw Big Ben. I have pictures of Big Ben. But I'm like, I didn't think a single thought about Big Ben because I was just there to, like, sightsee. What did I think thoughts about? What did I enjoy? I thought thoughts about my wife and the kind of pastries and teas they brought us and how we were having a really good conversation and how this one lady next to us was like doing all this alone and she seemed a little bit old. Everything I remember was like stuff I actually allowed myself to engage with, like toddling past like Tower Bridge and Big Ben. I'm like, no thoughts. You know what? You could ask me now. I don't even truly remember what Big Ben like totally looked like.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of know from postcards. I have seen it in person, but I was a child, so I don't know if that counts. But what you did was you went over to Europe and you brought back knowledge to this podcast. You introduced me to the concept of like the tenor wall. Like, you learned something about what life is like over there.
Yeah, and if you go to places and you just like see things and you don't engage with anything, you don't learn anything. You're not contributing to the species if you're not like actively trying to like learn things and synthesize about how people are and how you feel about people and how and how we all interface to this like big weird love hate matrix that all people are in at all times.
Yeah, I feel like one of a latent unspoken, I don't really do much with this fear that I have is at the end of my life, if there is a summation of like, well, here's all the things you did, let's review. And all I get is like a list of things that I could check off that I did. I feel like if I don't have an answer to like, well, what did it all mean? Then it's just like, oh shit, I don't get to enjoy the afterlife because I didn't learn. Send me back down. I got more to learn, you know, kind of.
I mean, that's Wheel of Samsara, baby. Come back as an ant. Yeah,
exactly. Let me experience all life has to offer before and really check off that list and beat the traffic every time before you let me into those pearly pearly gates.
Yeah, St. Peter's gonna be up there with a book and like he'll be like, tell me about your life, what'd you do, and like you recount all these things. He's like, yeah, but did you beat the traffic? Like, how much time did you spend sitting? you spent 17 extra minutes in traffic because you didn't leave that speech the author you really love gave early. Didn't leave that. You straight to hell. I'm sorry. Right.
It's just a book of like stamps of like the major attractions of the world. It's like you didn't see any of this stuff. You're not.
Oh yeah, you learn some stuff. You remember how much you loved your wife on that boat while you were looking at Big Ben. Sure, you saw Big Ben, but think of what else you could have seen.
He's flipping through. It's like, that's weird. Your wife isn't in this book. She wasn't important at all.
Yeah.
Why did you waste so much time having relationships? You're supposed to get every stamp of every roadside attraction.
Yeah. You think you're going to come into heaven? You spent so much time trying to be a genuinely good person full of love, and you never saw the largest ball of yarn, the largest cast iron skillet. You barely went to the Grand Canyon.
You think God created the largest ball of yarn so you couldn't go see it? No.
Wow. What? This is really an effrontery to God, I'm just now realizing.
Yeah. But yeah, no. You know, take some time.
So I don't know if you can hear it, if it's showing up on the recording, but it is hailing a lot up here.
I was hearing thunder on your end, and that was spooky and scary. It's completely dry up here.
Yeah, it is hailing quite a bit. Anyway, if it shows up in the recording, enjoy the ambiance.
Hope your car's in the garage.
It is. Oh boy, was it hard to put my car in the garage. I only crushed one box of Christmas lights.
Oh, damn. That sucks. But isn't it nice to have a garage so you can actually have your car in safety during one of the numerous hailstorms here in Texas?
It is nice to like have some refuge during hail season because, man, well, I didn't have a garage when we like lived in apartments. I'm like, guess I gotta hope for the best. Guess I gotta throw a blanket on top of my car.
Right. Every hailstorm like that we had, like, oh, it might hail today, was me rolling the dice and parking under an unclaimed covered parking space at the last second.
Yeah.
Like, I hope my car doesn't get towed, but like getting new windshields would probably be more expensive.
I mean, your deductible would probably be more than paying to get your car out of the impound lot. So, and your insurance doesn't go up that way. So smart.
And I waited. I did wait until like it started raining. Like I wasn't taking up someone's spot the whole afternoon. Was just like, if they're not here now, maybe they're seeking shelter elsewhere.
Yeah, it's hail, I think, is definitely the most like inhospitable aspect of Texas. Like I've never had to deal with like huge hail this much before, but it definitely feels like an adverse, like no man's sky kind of weather condition that people shouldn't have to deal with.
I've driven through hail once here in Texas. We were coming home from like an event late at night and it was raining hard, and for about half a mile, I couldn't tell. I was like, wow, this is really hard rain. Or like, oh, wow, that's hail. And then it really started picking up. I was like, someone is shooting bullets at my car.
It definitely feels like a thing that shouldn't happen, or that we should have like, we should have garages on every block or something, or like underground parking in all of town. It feels like a thing that just shouldn't happen.
We had to pull under an overpass because I passed so many gas stations full of people crowding under the little canopy and ended up under just a random overpass waiting for it to stop. And it's like, this feels dangerous. This feels illegal what I'm doing here, but it's the safest thing for me in this moment.
Isn't it great that fist-sized rocks just fall from the sky randomly for about 2 months in Texas? Isn't it great?
That could just kill you.
I know. Okay, so there was someone came up to the garage when I was trying to park my new big car in the garage. Boy, it sucks to park it in the garage next to Allison's Prius. There's no room in the garage right now. But when I was parking it, someone came up to me. They had a little clipboard, and I was like, ah, fuck, they caught me. And they were like, did you hear about the new laws passed for solar panels? Like,
oh my God.
Like, it was starting to rain, and there was hail in the forecast.
Like, it's about to start hailing. I'm not about to buy a solar panel from you.
Yeah, in the middle was like of a hailstorm. Distant thunder, and she was like, did you hear about the laws? I'm like, hey, you know, respect, but can we do this later? There's a hailstorm coming. I'm trying to put the cars in the garage. And she was like, oh, for real? Like, when? I was like, weather... Weather reports said a couple hours, and she's like, oh, do you think I'll get hurt if I stay out? And I was like, you might.
If you're
walking around uncovered, you might die.
But think if you're in that girl's position, that's the state of where we are economically. She has to weigh, do I keep hitting my beat and trying to get commissions from selling solar panels, or do I seek shelter and safety for my own personal health and maybe, like, stay alive?
Yeah, because that person is certainly making less than minimum wage once you consider the amount of time they spend walking their beat and then, like, the paltry commissions they make on solar panels that maybe one in every 200 houses does, and that's being generous. Right. So, yeah. For her to do the calculus being like, should I mean, walking around in a thunderstorm, that's fine.
That's date. Well, it's still.
But I mean, that was
right.
Her calculus.
Wait, you're right. Like,
My
livelihood
that,
is on the line.
Yeah, I knew that she was okay walking around a thunderstorm because she knew that was going to happen. But when I said a dangerous hailstorm, she was like, huh, I wonder if it's worth being killed. Right. It's not good. There is a strata of the American workforce that basically asks you to go to the brink of death for basically no money. And a lot of people live there. It's pretty sad. Though I will never get their bad solar panels installed on my house.
No, I think I won't either, because I think they put a cap on how much like energy credits you can even get. And so it's like, whatever. Not to get into that. We're not here about that. We're here to talk about the eclipse. John, I have a fun fact.
Oh, I love an eclipse fun fact.
Yeah, this is a fun fact about an eclipse. Not this eclipse, but the eclipse that happened in April 1791.
Oh!
And it pertains a certain individual from our country's history. I believe his name is John Quincy Adams.
Oh, I'm passingly familiar. Wait, do you mean John Adams or John? Oh, John Quincy Adams. Got it.
John Quincy Adams, yes. Apparently, John Quincy Adams permanently damaged his eyesight.
Uh-huh.
By looking at an eclipse. 5 months after the eclipse, he was still complaining that he was almost blind and his eyes never fully recovered.
Oof, it's not good. It's not good for you. It really isn't. Don't stare at the sun, folks.
I almost started this episode with that little factoid, but instead, I wanted to pay homage to another great president. Was John Quincy Adams a president?
Hold on. Let me see. I had him pulled up. John Quincy Adams' death. That's not what I wanted.
Oh, RIP to a real one.
Let's see. American statesman, diplomat, lawyer, cut to the fucking chase. Sixth president of the United States.
That's how much I know American history. But yeah, so another president who made the same mistake hundreds of years later.
Our presidents love to stare at the sun. Now, did you get the unique experience that we did during totality, which was really fucking terrifying and made me feel like the world was going to end, where
Let me guess.
Uh-huh.
Let me guess what this was. It a coworker opening a bag of Garden Salsa Sun Chips?
The loudest sound on earth. No, it was not that.
What was it, a coworker opening a chocolate moon pie?
Wait, did everyone decide to start snacking during totality?
They gave out sun chips and moon pies at my company, and it turns out, fun.
Yeah, I get it.
They
now.
Weren't the only ones. You know, the internet was smack dabbed with sun chips and moon pies, and let me tell you, not a great combination. What was your thing?
Moon pie is offensively dry, but with a big tall glass of milk, a moon pie slides down.
Stop getting money from Big Moon Pie.
The day I stop getting money from antiquated Southern snacks is the day I die. And that's also the day that I stop chewing cow's tails. That's right. The delicious sugar dust covered caramel treats that you feel like you're going to choke to death on. If you think those will choke you to death, try out Charleston Chew.
Stop it.
Very, very bad. A Zagat bar as well. Anyway.
We also would have accepted a Star Crunch. That's right. Star Crunch. The crunch that's out of this world. All right, what were we saying?
And a Whatchamacallit, though. That's a newer invention. You know, Whatchamacallits genuinely slap. Whatchamacallits are delicious.
The funny thing is I look at all of that Wonka candy, and I'm like, that's from the movie? Can't be good. Sorry, it's a licensed product.
Oh, I mean, it's true. So when we hit totality, yes. I don't know if you experienced this, extremely loud, distant screams.
Oh, that was it. That was the rapture.
So I think maybe a park near our house or something, there must have been some large gathering. Because, you know, like, when you walk past like a concert or something, or like, it's distinctly the feeling of like walking by the Lady Bird Lake stage during South By, like before a band, and you just hear that roar of like crowd susurration.
Yeah.
It went totally black. I thought a cloud had passed. My wife was like, look, and I took the glasses off totality, and in the distance I heard a building roaring deep scream of just like pure human activity that could have been people being raptured for all I knew. And man, did it feel like the world was about to end. I just felt like I needed to include that part of the story because I'd forgotten about it. But it was pretty essential to my feeling of there being some dark god we needed to appease.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, human screams definitely fill, you know, tick the talk about checklist, but definitely tick the checklist of, like, human dread.
Yeah, distant screams, not a great sign.
Yeah. Let's hope they stay distant.
Let's hope. Ooh, those screams, I'd hate for them to come knocking on my door. Let me tell you.
If you know what I mean.
Wah, wah, wah. Henry.
Yeah, cha, cha, cha. What? Did you say Harry?
I said Henry.
Oh, Henry? What's up?
Stop thinking about the hairy man. There's no good segue to go from talking about the eclipse to talking about how all this generation has been eclipsed by their student debt.
I feel like you just found it, John.
Did you know, Joe Biden, I've been out there talking about how he doesn't do anything. And people call him Sleepy Joe. I think he might be Sleeper Joe. That's right, in a TikTok kind of sleeper build way. You know what I'm talking about when I say that?
Yeah, like a sleeper hit.
Like a sleeper build is like someone who like doesn't look like they can lift a lot of weight, or they don't look muscular, but they can lift a lot of weight or are muscular.
Yeah, a sleeper hit is like something with no hype that ends up being like really, really slaps.
Yeah, it's sleeper build. I think he's Sleeper Joe because in the background there is a plan to resurrect the student loan relief plan for 30 million borrowers, canceling up to $20,000 of federal loan interest regardless of income, entirely forgiving the debt of anyone who's been making loan payments for more than 20 years, and cut down loans for people who didn't receive sufficient financial value from their studies due to specific education quality issues, and people who may be eligible for loan forgiveness programs but haven't applied. That's right, the student loan the student debt relief plan is not dead, and it continues apace. And probably, since the people who levy the most legislative challenges against it have poor attention spans, maybe this one will actually go through.
John, it sounds like you might be heading down the highway to the Hell House.
It's the Zero Credits 2024 Highway to the Hell House, where we talk about politicians and what they do.
Just a reminder to put in the jingle.
That's right. That's staying in. So who knows if President Biden will win in November.
Hope he does.
The total funding amounts, by the way, seem pretty disparate. A lot of people are posting a lot of doom and gloom about how much money Trump is raising. Looks like Biden has way more money, honestly.
Well, yeah, but let's focus back on the student loan debt, because I think as of like last month, a surprise round of state workers got their student debt erased. So like it's still kind of happening in these quiet, small waves.
Yeah, there's actually been pretty significant efforts to forgive student debt in like quieter, less sexy ways, because like we both agree that the right cares about nothing. They just care about like optics and ideology. So if you can like quietly forgive student debt in a way that's like not sexy or interesting or sweeping to give them something to argue against, a lot of it might actually pass.
Yeah, as long as people don't draw attention to it, and as long as Biden doesn't do the typical sort of Republican playbook move of doing something for clout on a large-scale grand stage, then yeah, we can sneak a lot of sort of like small, quiet legislative changes and improve a lot of people's lives, which actually seems to have been the Biden administration MO this whole time.
It seems like maybe with the current, how can I put this, bad, stupid people who are on the other side of the political spectrum, it seems like the only way to actually make meaningful societal change is to do it in really quiet, unsexy ways, because you don't want to give them something they can defeat you over. Right. Because once again, they only care about optics and ideology. They are vain cretins. So it seems to be working. I don't know if it translates to re-election. Hopefully it does.
You know, fingers crossed. But yeah, for every loud thing you do, that's just another ammo in the bandolier of like, oh, Joe Biden is actively destroying this country. If you push people on that statement, like, how is he actively destroying this country? They usually only have one thing to fall back on, and that's, oh, illegal immigrants.
Of course.
Because he hasn't done anything super loud enough for them to point to, and this illegal immigrant thing is really has nothing to do with his administration. That's all Border Patrol.
You just need to, over a long enough period of time, be like, we're going to cancel all debt for people who went to nursing school whose middle name starts with a J. Because it's like specific enough and takes long enough to explain that you don't really give anyone anything to defeat you over because they're looking for a sexy headline.
And they're like, well, that's not many people. And then the headlines do start circulating like, oh, $13 million of student loan debt was wiped out. And like, oh yeah, that's five people, but still it's really exciting.
It's really exciting. I technically qualify under a few of these, which is pretty interesting for me. You know, that'd be nice. That'd be nice.
Honestly,
I should have paid them off already, to be honest with you.
Well, not that. What I'm saying is if you think you qualify, like if the site is still up, absolutely fill it out. Like, apply. You don't know what's going to be accepted. Certain things were struck down, but certain things are being passed now. So if you think you, like, if you qualify, absolutely go through the steps to get your voice out there, to get your, hopefully, your debt forgiven.
I mean, I'll do it. I think I signed up when it was when there were initial rumblings of the actual debt cancellation plan. I don't know if my records are still out there. Also, we should cancel all student debt just to make it clear that this.
Racket.
I know that we've talked a lot of, just want to make it totally clear on the podcast, our stance is cancel all student debt.
From the nature of how it is structured, student debt is the only debt that is not dissolved upon death. It transfers to your next of kin. That's fucked up.
Does it?
Yes.
I mean, if it's like a plus loan, right?
As far as I understand it, a lot of the other loans sort of like go away unless you get tricked into like taking on somebody else's debt by some type of debt collector. But student loans are, they do not dissolve upon death, and they keep accruing at those awful APR rates forever.
That's interesting. That's not totally congruous with what I know, but I also don't know
100%. Correct me if I am wrong.
But with institutions like Boston University, Dartmouth College, the University of Pennsylvania, and Harvey Mudd College, which I've never heard of, I'm not going to send my kid to know Harvey Mudd, with their tuitions costing at least $90,000 per academic year starting this fall, and many expecting those to creep over $100,000 for some schools in the coming years, there's no better time to cancel student debt. Do it now. It's bad. It's not good.
Okay.
The director of the biggest movie in the country, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, went to Full Sail University, a for-profit institution. Cancel student debt. Give Adam Wingard what he needs.
allow me to amend my statement. Federal student loans are discharged after the borrower's death, but private lenders vary.
Yeah, I imagine for private, I mean, I think all debts are pretty much expunged after your death, unless you sign up for like a plus loan that has to be co-signed by another party. Private lenders can get very, listen, if I can give you one piece of soft advice, if someone wants to like consolidate your student loans and they're a private lender, don't do it. Don't do it. Private lenders, you're never going to have a lender that is more forgiving and subject to more legislative risk than the federal government. You don't want to put your life in the hands of private banking institutions, even if they'll give you a lower APR. Like if you have like a really good loan payoff plan, sure, yeah. Keep things with the federal government if you can, and then also try to like bundle your loans up so you don't have like a million different loans up there, but don't give it over to Discover or JP Morgan Chase or whatever.
Just a reminder, we are not a financial advisors. This is not financial advice, and we are not a liability for anything that happens to you ever.
We are just like the people on TikTok who point at a green screen behind them and say, buy this stock now. We are not financial advisors. We're not telling you to do anything. We're just making content.
It does seem as though historically federal loans do get forgiven at a higher rate than any other loan.
Do you think JP Morgan Chase is going to forgive shit? No, they're not.
The only other, the only other loan or debt that's sort of forgiven is when John Oliver buys $60 million of medical debt and then is just like, we're not going to collect on it.
We unfortunately have a John Oliver-based economy where everyone's just hoping that he'll buy their debt.
It's like when Mr. Beast restores eyesight to 100 people. We're just relying on like the tall, skinny, rich people of the world to be benevolent.
Yeah, we're just waiting on our unmuscular masters to fix our lives.
So yeah, keep up with your
student loans. We can't even listen, muscular people, step your fucking game up, okay? I can't think of a single super jacked person out there who's like helping large swaths of people. I tried to think about it. You know who I thought of? The Rock. And I don't know what The Rock does. The only thing I know is that he lies about going to In-N-Out.
You don't know what The Rock does, John. I was about to pivot topics to The Rock.
Oh my God, we're so in sync.
I was going to say, you know, attribute your student loan debt forgiveness to Joe Biden as he's the one behind it. And moving on our next Highway to the Hell House topic, we're going to turn a little to the wide world of Hollyweird, John.
Not Hollyweird.
Get ready to know what the Rock is cooking, because it might just be fascism. John?
Okay.
Dwayne Johnson came out recently in an interview with Fox News.
Oh, boy.
He said that endorsing Biden for president in 2020 caused division that, quote, tears me up in my guts, unquote.
Sure.
Adding today's, quote, woke culture, unquote, really, quote, bugs me.
Oh, no, it's happening. It's happening.
Yep.
Remember how I didn't like The Rock all this time? And everyone's like, no, The Rock's great. Why? Yeah. Here's the thing. People have been going on this, like, anti-woke self-cancellation, like, martyrdom tour for a while. But that's usually only when their career is in the absolute toilet. So I can't imagine why The Rock is doing this, since for a while there, he was the highest paid actor in America or in the world or whatever.
In the man's own words, he says, the endorsement that I made years ago with Biden was one I thought was the best decision for me at that time. I thought, I'm in this position where I have some influence, and I felt it was my job then to exercise my influence and share. This is who I'm going to endorse. I'm not going to do that. I was then the most followed man in the world, and am today, and I appreciate that. But what that caused was something that tears me up in my guts, which is division. That got me. I didn't realize that then. I just felt like there was a lot of unrest, and I'd like things to calm down.
Hmm. Okay, so I don't know where this interview goes, and this is kind of blindsiding me, but it almost feels like maybe at its best, this is kind of a cowardly PR play to totally avoid endorsing anyone while throwing a little bit of a dog whistle to the right wing to be like, come back to the Rock tent.
Abso-fucking-lutely, John. I think that is the read here. He wasn't upset about anything other than the division it caused in his fan base.
I endorsed this political figure because I thought it was the right thing for me. What are you talking about, Dwayne? What does that mean?
What you mean is, like, I personally may be aligned with Biden, but my brand didn't, and there was division in my fan base. So
people were burning their Terramana sneakers.
Right. He continues to say, the takeaway after that was it caused an incredible amount of division. I realize now going into this election, I will not do that. My goal is to bring this country together. I believe in that. There will be no endorsement. At this level of influence, I will keep my politics to myself. It is between me and the ballot box. But I will tell you this, like a lot of us out there, not trusting of all politicians, I do trust the American people and whoever they vote for. That is my president, and I will support 100%.
Wow, man, let me tell you.
You couldn't can a better answer. You couldn't. He's basically said, like, nothing.
I mean, if you read between the lines, you don't even need to read between the lines. I think he's saying pretty clearly that he's saying, I was then and am now the most followed person in the world, brag. But what he's saying is, like, I lost some power in the past because I chose to say something. And I found that unpleasant. And I would like to remain at the same amount of power, or ideally a greater amount of power, so I will no longer be doing that. And I know it's dangerous to do this on a platform, but man, what a cowardly thing for Dwayne The Rock Johnson to say.
Right. It's like, oh, it feels like it was written by a PR person. Like, and like somebody sat him down in, like, a meeting with charts and was like, here's where you endorsed. Here's where we started logging dissent in your comments. Here's sort of like where your prices, maybe, you know, your rate tanked a little bit because you weren't as big of a commodity as you were before the endorsement. And he was like, oh, so this is really hurting, like, and to his, you know, maybe to his credit, he's thinking of like his staff, the people, you know, there is an ecosystem around the Rock.
Yeah.
Of which he is the Rock of. Is
not an island. Rock is a corporation. That's fair.
And so maybe in his defense a little bit, he's thinking of those people and like, oh man, if these trends continue, which they might not, you never know. Like, oh, we're going to be hard pressed. We're going to have to let people go. I don't want that. So I'm going to walk everything back. I'm going to like lose all sense of like personality here, become the commodity again. And I'm going to go back to WrestleMania to get my base back. Coincidentally, he was at WrestleMania recently. It all lines up.
People not big fans of seeing The Rock in wrestling spaces lately, but
I feel like it's a desperate attempt to get back this lost fraction of Rock fans. He feels, you know.
I wonder. I do genuinely wonder because like it. I think it is cowardly for an individual to say that because they want to maintain some amount of power, but also as an individual. When you do reach the point of becoming essentially a corporation with employees, multiple subdivisions of tequilas and sportswear and workout apps, like,
right.
At what point, I guess this is the point, honestly, but at what point do you cede your ability to use your platform for good in your mind? Because like, right. if someone publicly endorses a presidential candidate, they must in some way have some core ideological beliefs that align with that candidate. So like, when do you give that, how sad that must be to be like, I can no longer have an opinion and I can't sway people's opinion one way or the other to maybe induce greater good in the world. I can't do that anymore for fear of my corporation collapsing.
Right. Like, yeah, that is a horrible position to be in. I don't envy The Rock for having to see this part of himself to save what he perceived or was told was like lost fans or lost revenue due to losing fans or being booed. Maybe he just didn't like being booed at WrestleMania. Like that could be as well. You know, there could be any number of factors. But it's just interesting to see The Rock walk this back, whereas like, oh no, I don't know. I was going to draw a comparison to another celebrity, but I don't think it's fair. So maybe I won't do that.
I just gotta say, Taylor Swift endorsed somebody and didn't walk it back, so.
That's what I was gonna say, but if you actually look at what, I don't think she has not, as of yet, as of this election cycle, endorsed Biden.
Okay, so never mind, Taylor, get on it.
She has encouraged people to vote. She has encouraged people to register to vote, but she has not named a candidate. She did in the 2020 election, but not in this one as of today.
I was surprised to learn that Taylor Swift had endorsed anyone in 2020 because Taylor Swift, in my mind, seemed like the least likely to endorse anyone.
For similar reasons, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to alienate a potential base. I feel like now that she's a billionaire more than ever, she should totally have free reign to endorse whoever she wants. But maybe she's feeling similar pressures, so... You know, I don't know. We haven't endorsed anybody on this podcast. We haven't used our platform to endorse anybody.
Yeah, and I think that's because we're afraid of the division and also because I don't want people to learn how I feel about Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
I know, and just with today's cancel culture, woke culture division, that really bugs me.
It bugs me in my guts.
Yeah, yeah. In the spirit of that, you either succumb to that and be what other people want you to be, or you be yourself and be real, and that might make people upset and piss people off, and that's okay. Oh, wait, sorry. I was quoting Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, yeah. I guess my problem is, like, this division, it's just my guts, you know? This division has rearranged my guts.
In one breath, he's walking back an endorsement he made because it created division. And then the next breath, he's saying, you either become what people want you to be, or you be yourself and be real.
And he's clearly chosen one side of that. He's clearly chosen one side,
but he's saying that that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. You should be yourself and piss people off, and that's okay. He's not listening to his own words.
Listen, I think we're discovering maybe a trend with Mr. Johnson. Doesn't remember going to In-N-Out four times. Doesn't remember what point he was making with an argument. I think Mr. Johnson is unwell.
I just shared with you a meme that circulated shortly after this interview on Fox News.
Yeah, pretty good.
On our Discord chat. It's the classic, do you smell what the rock is cooking look? But it says, I smell fascism, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's not wrong. Oh, I mean, in any other political race, I think it would be easier to forgive some of this stuff. But I'm like, it's so bad right now. And honestly, if The Rock was like, hey, RFK Jr., I'd be like, respect. You know, at least you had like...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You had an opinion. It's the lack...
Yeah.
Honestly, even if The Rock in this interview was like, Trump all the way, baby, I'd be like, that's weird and bad. But, you know, at least you have an opinion.
No. Like us... both of us combined on this podcast, if The Rock also endorsed RFK Jr. for president, I feel like we would then just be part of an elite group that just kind of gets it, you know?
Yeah. If you look at the polling numbers, first of all, they're lies,
but we're up. We're
10%. And you know what? You need to make that 100%. One more zero, baby.
Hey, that's closest we'll ever be. I mean, that's closest we are so far.
Listen, we're in the path of totality. Total RFK Jr. victory. If The Rock had joined our side, who knows what we could have done?
Yeah. And just to close out this segment of Highway to the Hell House and the episode, I just want to share a small news story out of the candidate Donald Trump, I believe his name is, out of his camp. Whereby just 4 days ago, Trump accused President Biden of using cocaine and demands a drug test before he will debate him.
Okay, fun. Trump never used cocaine?
Does Biden seem like a man who has ever touched cocaine? The guy who says malarkey and eats ice cream?
Yeah, I think maybe Trump just defaulted to cocaine because that's what he knows. I mean, like all presidents, every single president. This isn't like specific to a Biden thing. I'm sure there's like a lot of chemical assistance that allows them to perform. I don't think that cocaine is part of that.
No.
Really, I really don't.
The White House has never, I'm sorry, the Hell House has never quite felt like the writer's room of SNL to me. So I will have to agree.
Yeah, there's some like horse drugs with names that are just numbers and letters we don't even know that they're putting into all of our presents. And I'm sure they were injecting them into the webbing of Trump's toes as well, just to like get him to perform. Ridiculous. But you know what?
I'm going to say
different stakes. Get them in, make sure they're clean, and then just put them on the same drugs and see how they perform.
We're both going to give you a shot of speed. This shall be a lively debate. Let's see whose heart gives out first.
We're going to go amphetamines first, and then halfway through, we're switching to crack.
Oh, no. Who can beat their addiction the quickest? This is for immunity.
What's crazy is they give Biden the crack. Doesn't change at all.
Immune to crack. Wow.
Immune to crack.
Yeah.
Now, this is an awkward position where I was trying to think back in my head for who edits the episode and who should be thrown to.
Yeah, throw it to me, buddy.
I'm a buddy. Hey, Henry.
Oh, John?
It seems like the episode might be over now that we petered out saying immune to crack.
Immune to crack.
So people might want to get in contact with us about the statements we made about crack. So how could they do that?
If you want to tell us you are immune to crack and therefore should be allowed to debate the presidents, get at us on Elon Musk's X.com. Why are we still here? but you can reach us at ZCPCWHJ on X.com, Twitter.com, whatever the fuck you want to call it. We'll let you. And I believe my good friend John knows what that stands for.
That's right. To avoid drag on their growth plans, teams at OpenAI, who are running out of information to train their AI models, are starting to scrape YouTube videos for transcriptions to train AI models. You'd think Google would be upset about that. They're not. Why? Because they're secretly scraping the transcription of YouTube videos to feed their AI models as well.
That is correct. We're also reachable via email. You can send us an email to zerocreditsisapodcast@gmail.com, and we will answer it within a fortnight game or two. Heyo. We're also available on a somewhat shrinking amount of podcast apps that includes, but is not limited to, Spotify, Amazon Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, Podchaser, Podcast Addict, shout out, RIP Google Podcast. If the app of your choice has the ability to leave a rating and review, we would greatly appreciate you take the 2 extra minutes to do that. It would really help us with our visibility on those platforms. But the most important thing you can do to us beyond anything is just tell somebody about our podcast. We've been doing this for a while. We want to keep doing it for a while longer. So tell a friend about the podcast and make them listen. Tie them up. Kidnap them if you have to. And force those ear pods into their ear holes and hit play. Every listen is valid, even if it's coerced. That's right. We endorse kidnapping. Word of the mouth is the only way we can survive.
You know, I tried to get into Fortnite. You said Fortnite. And I loaded it up, and I couldn't get past the point where it's just child gambling. But at least they use that money. Also, I think they're like 49% owned by Tencent. At least they use that money to build the best game engine ever made. Maybe some local game companies should get on that their Unreal Engine. And from everyone here at the Zero Credits self-promoting game publishing Hefeweizen Swilling Studios, we'd like to wish you a happy week.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.